Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. As always, this is a wonderful opportunity to expand your horizons, to learn more, to get empowered with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. I have some really exciting things coming up over the next month. You know, it's designated Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I actually prefer to call it Breast Health Awareness Month. So in order to support women and empower everyone listening with the best knowledge, strategies, you know, practical solutions, just cutting through so many of the myths and misinformation, I will be doing an ongoing series of a variety of things, actually. I'm going to be doing special offers to support women with their health, special offers in relationship to consultations and to specific testing. I'm going to be doing interviews, short little interviews that will be put up on my Facebook page and through my e-list of really fabulous people, things, products, just trying to get as much really valid, truthful, beneficial information out there as possible. So if you haven't yet visited my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, please go up there, opt into my newsletter, because then you'll be on my list. And also go on to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. In fact, whatwomenmustknow.com is my website, and it's also the name of my Facebook page. And especially, well, both places will have special offerings, but if you go up to the Facebook page and like me over there, I will be organizing all special little offers and discounts and coupons for really neat products. I have just returned from a weekend in Baltimore. Twice a year, there is a fantastic show called the Natural Products Expo. It's the show for the natural products industry. And as always, when I go, it's an opportunity to discover some really exciting products, leading-edge developments, and I will be taking advantage of the contacts I made and offering some of those fantastic products with coupons and discounts, all those good things that you find on Facebook. So be sure you go over to my Facebook page, like me there, and stay in touch with the things that are about to happen all of the month of October. So we'll have a great time, a great learning time, a great time to really stepping into a level of knowledge to guide you on your life's journey. So today we're going to be having one of those conversations that will help to lift the veil on an area, on a topic that I think really confuses a lot of people. We're going to be talking to Dr. Natasha Turner, who is the author of a fascinating and such informative book called The Carb Sensitivity Program. Discover which carbs will curb your cravings, control your appetite, and banish belly fat. So let me just ask you a couple of questions. See what your response is. So do you crave carbohydrates? Do you have a sweet tooth? Do you battle with an insatiable appetite? Do you have an obsession with food? Do you hold stubborn fat around your middle? Do you feel a warming sensation in your feet at night? Do you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol? Do you experience depression or related mood changes? And do you have difficulty losing weight despite a healthy, balanced diet? Well, if you've answered yes or even maybe to any of those questions, you really want to be listening, because we're going to be unraveling the mystery of carbohydrates and the kind of diet that will support our body to thrive optimally. And to help us negotiate and navigate through this really confusing area is my guest today, Dr. Natasha Turner, who is a leading chiropractic doctor and founder of Clear Medicine, a Canadian-based wellness clinic that provides integrated health care. She's also the author of two international best-selling books, The Hormone Diet and The Supercharged Hormone Diet. So it's my great pleasure to invite Dr. Natasha Turner to the show today. Hello, Natasha.
How are you? It's so nice to speak with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you're a busy girl, aren't you? You've just been writing these big tomes and doing all this research. I mean, as an author, I look at the book. I mean, this latest book, The Carb Sensitivity Program, is this hardback book, and it's got 400 and something pages. So good for you, Natasha.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and I certainly don't ever get accused of not doing my research or having books that are short on substance. 470 pages. But don't let it scare you.
No, you know, it's really relevant information. It's so well written. It's easy to understand. Of course, you've got a lot of very practical sections in there with recipes and workouts and
90 recipes.
That we need to know. 90 recipes. Can't ever get enough good recipes to one collection. Especially when they're healthy recipes. So let's start by talking about this whole carb story. I just want to share with you a little bit about my experience. So I've struggled with weight on and off for many, many, I guess you can say decades, to be honest. And I've been introduced to the program based on the work of an endocrinologist using homeopathic HCG. You probably have heard about it. I don't know
That's
if they
right.
even allow it in Canada, but it has had a profound effect. So I lost 30 pounds, four dress sizes. That was 4 years ago. Kind of opened my eyes. It was a revelation, and have incorporated programs ever since with my patients and using those programs, introducing them around the world. But here's the thing. One of the big pieces of my puzzle after I had great success, but in order to maintain that success, I discovered I had to really eliminate carbohydrates from my diet. And I'm talking about grains, I'm talking about, of course, sugars. I didn't do much in the soda world, but all the grains,
mm-hmm.
I've really taken them out. I rarely have them. And it has been profound. I've been able to maintain my size 6 and, feeling great and tons of energy. So this opened my world up. And then, of course, having opportunities to interview Dr. William Davis, the author of Wheat Belly, which gives another slant on the whole issue of carbs.
Yeah, he endorsed my book.
He's wonderful. Mm. He's one of my heroes. So you've taken this issue on in your book, and it is a big story, and I do feel people get confused about what insulin is, why carbs are at risk, how they affect hormones. So, you know, in the hour that we have today, this is what I want us to really go through. I want us to kind of deconstruct this whole story so people can really understand what this big message is that you are giving out from your books. How does that sound?
That sounds amazing, because I have to agree. People are very, very confused about this whole issue of carbohydrates and blood sugar balance and the early warning signs and the late complications. So definitely I think this will be great to have that much time to be able to converse with you about this.
Good. So let's start. I think let's talk about blood sugar, because it kind of all starts with blood sugar and the effect of insulin, and you know, these are terms people hear all the time, but
yeah.
I think we really understand what they mean.
So basically how I became so interested in this topic, I mean, as you mentioned in my introduction, I did release my first book, The Hormone Diet, 3 years ago, and I really feel like I broke the whole concept that hormones are controlling every single aspect of your ability to lose weight. Where you store your fat, your appetite, your cravings, how your body responds to exercise, how well you burn fat, everything is controlled by your hormones. And so at that point I said that the old equation of weight loss, like calories in minus calories out equals weight loss, is totally antiquated. I really believe if you did not add hormonal balance plus the difference in your calories, then you will never, ever, ever achieve the lasting results that you're looking for. And I started to look at the whole concept of hormones after I became really sick. Similar to you, I also had developed an imbalance that caused me to gain a lot of weight. I mean, in 1993, I was exercising, I was watching what I was eating, I was doing everything right, and yet by the end of that summer, I had gained 20 pounds. And so I was like, well, obviously what I'm doing isn't working. So I cut my calories more, I exercised longer, got on the treadmill and ran longer, and I gained another 5 pounds in 2 weeks and ended up in the emergency ward. And so I totally had made my true cause of my weight gain so much worse with the stress of cutting my calories and overexercising. I actually had a deficiency of thyroid hormone at that time. And so that's when I started to look at, wow, like hormones are super powerful, and if you don't have them balanced, or if you have any form of hormonal imbalance, you're going to struggle at losing weight and keeping it off. And so since then, I've been putting patients through the program of the hormone diet in my clinic, thousands of patients in the last 4 years. And in some patients, I started to recognize a trend. I was like, there were certain people that really, really, really struggled, even on a healthy diet, to keep the weight off. And I've slowly come to uncover that I think the number one reason why we can't lose weight, or we can't keep it off, or you struggle with belly fat even when you think you're watching your diet, is because of the carbs. I think we're all eating the wrong types of carbs for our metabolism. And I think it's no longer just about good carbs versus bad. I think we have to move beyond that, because we've done so many things that have damaged our metabolism, which we can talk about, that have caused hormonal disruption and increased what I call carb sensitivity. So the more carb sensitive you are, the bigger your blood sugar imbalance when you eat that carb. And basically, in a carb-sensitive individual, they could eat a healthy carb like a sweet potato, but yet their body would respond like it was a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah, right.
And so I started to recognize, well, what's happening in these patients when they're eating these carbs, even the healthy carbs, is spiking the blood sugar, and then in response to the big spike in blood sugar, you get the secretion of insulin. And let's face it, all carbs equal sugar. All carbs trigger the release of insulin. Typically, the good carbs, those are lowest in sugar and highest in fiber, tend to trigger the least amount of insulin. And insulin is the one and only hormone that is always telling our body to store energy as fat. So you never, ever, ever want to have too much insulin. And so the trick that you have to do for everybody, I really believe that everybody's metabolism and ability to metabolize carbohydrates is unique. It is as unique as a food allergy or a food sensitivity. And I think the number one thing you have to figure out to age the best you can age, let alone get rid of your food cravings or your belly fat, is to figure out, number one, am I carb sensitive? And number two, if I am carb sensitive, which carbohydrates am I sensitive to? Because my philosophy is that you don't have to avoid all carbs. You only need to avoid the carbs that spike your blood sugar and therefore increase insulin release.
So, Natasha, let's define terms, because when I say go on a low-carb diet, people just don't know what I'm talking about. What do they have to give up? So what are carbohydrates? What foods do you refer to when you talk about carbohydrates? We're going to just get really simple so we can start and
build our
story.
So carbs come from their fruits, their vegetables. People don't realize that fruits and vegetables are carbs. They're beans, they're grains, they're legumes, they're nuts. But I tend to think of nuts mostly as a fat source and not a protein source, but there are some carbs in nuts. And then there are carbs that are sugar, so things like pastas and breads and juice and candies and pastries, anything labeled energy drink, flavored yogurts, your jams, your jellies, anything that has sugar in it are essentially a source of carbohydrate.
What about beans? Where do they, beans, lentils?
Beans or legumes are definitely, they're classified. I consider those as what you'd say a good carb. I think the good carb for some people, I mean, for instance, chickpeas for me are not a good carb. They're classically a low glycemic, healthy carb, but unfortunately, they're a carb sensitivity for me. So when I eat chickpeas, I gain weight. I get more cravings. I retain more water. And yet, if I choose a legume like lentils, I have no problem whatsoever. So there's a big, wide range of carbs, and I believe that we all should get 35% of our daily calories should come from carbohydrates. Whether or not that 35% for you is made up of certain fruits or certain beans or certain grains or certain starchy vegetables or green vegetables, that's going to depend on your metabolism, how well your body metabolizes carbs, and how healthy your blood sugar balance and your insulin response is.
Okay, so that gives more clarity for people so they understand that what foods fall into that category. And, of course, corn would be a high-carb vegetable, right? That was considered
basic. That's right. Like the typical starches. And that's the thing is that I have five phases in the diet. And every phase, it's so simple to follow. At the end of every phase, there's a complete list of the foods you're allowed and the foods you're not allowed. And the protein sources like chicken and fish and dairy sources that are high in protein and red meats that are preferably grass-fed or those types of protein sources, they stay the same in every phase. Your healthy fat sources like avocado and olives and coconut oil, macadamia nuts, or omega-3 egg yolks, your sources of healthy fats stay the same in every phase of the diet. Your carb selections change based on the phase of the diet. So I help you identify which foods or which carbs you can eat by still continuing to lose weight and to remain free of cravings and not have belly fat and not have water retention, not have hair loss, not have acne, because all of these symptoms are actually linked to the blood sugar and insulin imbalance that happens when we eat the wrong types of carbs for our metabolism.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that every week I give you a list and I say these are your carbs you're allowed to eat this week. And we slowly just phase them in.
Okay, so let's help my audience understand the whole process that occurs when you eat sugar and what insulin resistance does. And you said a really, really powerful statement that insulin is a fat storage hormone. So when people are eating foods that are high in sugar, it will cause the body to release insulin. And let's go into why that happens. What's the purpose of that whole insulin cycle? And when it goes awry, what occurs?
Well, I like to describe insulin as a little truck. So when you eat foods, they get broken down into the sugar. The sugar hits your bloodstream. And as soon as that sugar hits your bloodstream, your pancreas releases insulin. Your insulin is released in proportion to the amount of sugar in your bloodstream. The more sugar you have, the more insulin is released. Once insulin gets in your bloodstream, I like to think of it then as a little truck. It drives out into the bloodstream and it picks up the sugar molecules and it drives them to your cells, particularly your muscle cells, your liver, or your fat cells. And the analogy I like to tell patients is that you want your liver cells and your muscle cells to be a lot hungrier for that sugar than your fat cells. And that has to do with your muscle cells and your liver cells being very sensitive to insulin's message. So the way that I describe this is once the insulin hits the cell, it presses the garage door opener or it binds with the insulin receptor. You want that garage door opener to work really well so that as soon as that insulin truck gets there, it lets the sugar leave the bloodstream and it goes right into the cell. And then that's the first thing that insulin does, is it takes the blood sugar out of the bloodstream into your cells. Most people are very familiar with insulin as the hormone that lowers your blood sugar. And that's in effect why type 1 diabetics, for instance, must take insulin injections, because if they don't, they'll have all that sugar in their bloodstream, and yet they'll never be able to access the sugar from the bloodstream without the insulin. So even with all that sugar there, they're essentially starving. So you have to have the insulin to get the energy from your food. But the problem is, what happens is all of us, especially when we age, the majority of the population, we start to become what is called insulin resistant. And the way that I can describe this is if someone is very hard of hearing, you have to yell for them to get the message. It has to be louder. There has to be more of the message. And that's what happens when your cells are resistant to insulin. It doesn't just get a whisper of insulin's message. Your body has to release a ton of it to have the same blood sugar lowering effect. And we become insulin resistant over time because we tend to eat a lot of the carbs repeatedly over and over that spike our blood sugar and spike our insulin. And our body just gets so used to having so much insulin around all the time that you have to release more and more and more to have the same blood sugar lowering effect. And remember, I told you, insulin is the one and only hormone that is always telling your body to store energy as fat. So eventually what happens is, over time, you're walking around, even when you haven't eaten, having high levels of insulin. And that completely is telling your body to store energy as fat, and it actually blocks fat burning when it's present. So it's almost impossible to lose weight when your insulin levels are out of whack.
And, you know, that's really going on all the time because our diet is, I mean, you go into a supermarket, that's all you see are foods filled with sugar and grains and carbohydrates. So that is that part of why we become carb sensitive, Natasha? We just have such a continuous exposure?
I think so. I mean, when we talk about the causes of high insulin, one is that we are eating the wrong types of carbohydrates. So the white breads, the white pastas, the muffins, the cookies, those are the bad carbs, the ones that are super high in sugar. We also do it because we're deficient in fiber. Fiber binds with the sugar and it slows the release of sugar into the bloodstream. That means it limits insulin release, and yet we're supposed to get 30 to 35 grams of fiber every day in our diet, and the majority of us get about 10 to 15 grams of fiber. And that is huge because as soon as you're eating something that's devoid in fiber, it's going to cause an increase in blood sugar. And that's also part of the reason why so many of these processed foods and these fast foods that we eat are so addictive, because they cause a spike in our blood sugar. And it's almost like Dr. Oz, he refers to this effect and the rush that we get from eating carbs, like almost like cocaine for the brain. It's just that it just causes real dramatic physiological changes over time. And unfortunately, eating this way actually degrades the appetite control centers in your brain. And that, so it becomes harder and harder and harder for us to control our appetite and to control our craving for carbs as we age. And the studies that I looked at actually showed that the appetite areas of the brain degrade quicker high carb meals. So you're right. It's totally a lot of this problem is because we're doing the wrong things over and over. Not having enough protein will cause high insulin levels. Alcohol consumption causes high insulin. Artificial sweeteners, they don't raise your blood sugar, but they raise insulin. And that's why if you look at two groups of people, the people today who are consuming products with artificial sweeteners like sucralose or aspartame versus the people today who are not eating artificially sweetened foods, if you follow up with them 8 years later, the group eating the artificially sweetened foods are the ones that are going to be more prone to be found obese later on. And it's because these foods stimulate insulin, they stimulate our appetite, they increase cravings, and they perpetuate more weight gain.
You know, I want you to repeat that, because there are still so many people out there who really believe that getting a diet soda or something with the artificial sweeteners is actually benefiting them. And I travel a lot. I just see people ordering that on the plane, the diet soda. It's like, oh, my God, if they only knew. So I just want you to go over that one more time so people hear this, okay?
It's so true. We never want to raise insulin. And artificially sweetened products, they don't raise your blood sugar, but they're raising insulin. And remember that, as what I've said, insulin's the only hormone that triggers your appetite and makes you store energy as fat. So that's the biggest reason why. That's in all three of my diet books. There's no artificial sweeteners in any of the programs right. because of the hormonal imbalance that it causes when we eat these foods. I had a nurse in my office last week, and she'd come for her second visit, and she said to me, I cannot believe that I am not food obsessed and that my cravings are gone. And she said, I cannot believe the difference, because she was really into Diet Coke. She was drinking a ton of Diet Coke every day. I said, if you simply just got rid of the Diet Coke, your appetite and your cravings would be so much more under control. And when she came back 4 weeks later, she had lost 10 pounds, and she said the biggest difference was that after 2 or 3 days of following the nutrition program, the carb sensitivity plan, she had no more cravings, and that her appetite was completely, like, she wasn't obsessed with food. She wasn't thinking about, what am I going to have my next meal? It was just a dramatic change, and it had so much to do with getting rid of the artificial sweeteners. The other thing that's so important for us to be able to control our insulin levels is sleep. If you are sleep-deprived, within 3 to 4 days of being sleep-deprived, it actually takes your body up to 40% longer to process carbohydrates after you eat them. And what that means is it's blocking how well insulin works on your cells. So you actually start to release more insulin the more sleep deprived, the longer that you are. And that's why when we're sleep deprived, we tend to eat more as well, because of the blood sugar and the insulin imbalance that happens. I mean, when we're tired and stressed out, what are you craving? You're not craving broccoli. You're craving, you know, that 3 or 4 o'clock cookie in the afternoon, or the donut. And yet, I've just told you that when you are sleep deprived, you're already in a metabolic state where your body can't even process those foods properly. So it is super, super important to be able to optimize your sleep habits to improve your blood sugar and your insulin balance. And it's proven people who work shift work have more belly fat and have a greater risk of diabetes, and it's all because of the stress that the lack of sleep or the lack of sleep with melatonin production has on their metabolism.
Yes, it's really a big story, and the anxiety attacks that are really common for people around 3-4 a.m. in the morning when people are awakened with anxiety and palpitations. That also relates to this inability to regulate your blood sugar levels at night when you sleep, because the adrenals are really affected, which are impaired because of, you know, the stress and inability to regulate the blood sugar. And it's a really big story, which we will get into when we get back. And the other thing I want you to talk about when we get back, Natasha, which these are little gems I've picked up from your book, is the connection between insulin and high testosterone levels in women, and also skin tags. What's happening with our skin as a result of all this insulin and all the sugar and the effects of insulin resistance going on in our body. So those are some really interesting little tidbits we're going to be talking about as we continue our conversation. So, Natasha, we're going to take a break. And to all my listeners, hang in there. We've got some great information coming up. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know with my guest today, Dr. Natasha Turner, author of the Carb Sensitivity Program. Hang in there. I'll be right back. Know, and today we're talking about a must-know subject. We're talking about the effects of carbs on our health and our weight, on our brain, on our hormones. And to help us negotiate this very fascinating and important topic is my guest, Dr. Natasha Turner, who is the author of the Carb Sensitivity Program, Discover Which Carbs Will Curb Your Cravings, Control Your Appetite, and Banish Belly Fat. So, Natasha, let's continue this conversation, because you're really doing such a great job at explaining what's going on. And I touched on a couple of topics right before the break that related to this insulin resistance condition that's going on, and that has to do with high levels of testosterone. And I mention it because in saliva testing that I do for women with their hormones, you probably use it too, I'm seeing women who are showing up with high testosterone levels. They don't have polycystic ovarian syndrome, the normal thing that's associated with it. They're not on hormones. So this has really been interesting to see a pattern. So do you see this as well?
I absolutely do. I do blood and I do saliva and urine testing for hormones, and I see high testosterone or high DHEA in a lot of women. And the symptoms that and the listeners might not realize that are associated with that type of hormonal imbalance is that many women, they'll get more hair loss, they'll have acne, they might have shrinking or sagging breasts, more belly fat. Not the changes that you're really hoping for. And I have polycystic ovarian disease, so I, you know, have struggled on and off with having those types of hormonal imbalances myself, and yet I've been able to restore those imbalances completely with the program and the carb conscious approach that and the strength training programs that I have in my book. My blood work now is perfect. And I believe all cases of women, almost all of them, if you see high testosterone, the majority of cases I should say, I think are totally because those women are eating the wrong types of carbs that are spiking their blood sugar and spiking insulin. Because in women, when their insulin levels go high, it actually tells the body to take their estrogen, the feminizing hormone, the one that's so great for our skin and our brain and our mood and our sleep and our hair. It takes that and it converts it into testosterone. And as a result, you start to get all those other types of imbalances like hair loss and acne and the shrinking breasts. So really, and then many women, they'll go on medications to lower testosterone. Sometimes I have patients come in taking spironolactone, for instance, is a type of drug that lowers testosterone. But really, the solution is just to simply look at their diet and to figure out which carbs they're eating that are spiking their blood sugar. And then I just tell these patients to avoid those carbs, and they'll see over a period of a couple of months, in the follow-up blood testing, their testosterone levels will be normal. And their skin will improve and their hair growth will improve. And part of that is obviously they have to identify their carb sensitivities, and then you avoid those carbs and you eat the carbs that are best for you. So whether it's I'm going to choose squash and beets and legumes and Ezekiel and rye, those are all my good carbs, whereas someone else, and I'm going to avoid oatmeal and brown rice and sweet potato, because those, you know, even though they're healthy carbs, they're the ones that are tend to be the highest in the sugar that impact your blood sugar. But
let's talk about, I have a couple of questions. So this huge increase in the incidence of polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is the inability to dissolve the cysts in the ovaries as it should be normally, so they just keep accumulating and create all sorts of problems, hormonal imbalance ensues. Do you see that as directly related to the increased amount of carbs and sugar in our diet over the last generation or so?
Yes, I believe any woman who has PCOS and even infertility, you have to think about balancing two hormones. One, insulin, and the way you do that is by identifying your carb sensitivities, and number two, cortisol, your long-term stress hormone. So you have to think about doing everything from a hormonally balanced lifestyle that will help you balance those two hormones, and that will repair your metabolism and restore normalcy, often in the menstrual cycle, improve fertility, I have actually success stories in the book, talking about this woman who came in and she's trying to get pregnant forever, and I put her on the carb sensitivity program, and she shares her success story. She was pregnant in the second month, and it had so much to do with restoring optimal fertility. And not only that, so it improves your fertility, and following this program actually improves the successful outcome and reduces the risk of for the baby if you eat in a way that keeps your insulin levels low during pregnancy. Childhood obesity is accelerating, and as is type 2 diabetes in children. And do you know what? our babies are being born now with high insulin levels before they ever take their first bite, and it's because of the mom having high insulin levels in pregnancy. So getting your insulin levels not only improves your fertility, it also improves the health of your baby overall, and establishes a much lower risk for them to be obese and to have type 2 diabetes overall.
You know, it's so horrifying to realize the ramifications of our high-carb diet, what it's really doing to our genes and to the implication of the imbalances that we were seeing and that are showing up. You know, one of the testings that I do a lot is nutritional genomic testing, and I see this, what I've learned, first of all, is that every single human walking around on the planet was never designed to be eating a high-carbohydrate diet. So we're all part of a massive experiment genetically, and of course that's what's driving the obesity epidemic and the diabetes epidemic and the cardiovascular and cancer. I mean, it's all related, you know, these infants that are showing up with insulin resistance. I mean, genetically we just never, it was like we never knew how to deal with it because we didn't have to. We didn't have these carbs, the amount of carbs that are...
No, and I mean, my thing is that, I mean, I flew down to L.A. to do the Ricky Lake show in August, and our show on hormones with Suzanne Summers, and you know, I was checked into the hotel, and the woman behind the counter, she saw the book in my hand, and the carb sensitivity book, and she said, oh, the carb sensitivity, she said, you know, we're all on a no-carb diet, and she said, you know, funny enough, it's actually not working for one of the women that's following it here. And I said, well, is she eating vegetables? Is she eating fruit? Is she eating beans? And she said, well, yeah, she is. And I said, well, those are carbs. And I said, you know, obviously within that collection, some of those carbs are not right for her metabolism. She's still having cravings. She's still having weight gain. She's not getting the results from her diet. And I think, yes, there's two problems. One, we tend to eat way too many carbs. I mean, too much carbs, too much sugar, too much processed food. But now I think what's happened is we've done that for so long that we're even struggling now with eating even some of the healthy carbs. And it's just a reflection of how our metabolisms have become so damaged. And so, it's not just about, I don't think it is just about cutting your carbs. I really think you've got to get more specific than that. And it doesn't have to be a hard process. It's a simple process to figure out which carbs your body likes and doesn't like. You don't even need to do blood tests. You can just pay attention to how you feel. And I have a carb sensitivity checklist that helps you identify, do I have any of these symptoms? If you do, then you're eating carbs you're sensitive to. And I think that we've got to become aware of how much we're eating, but then also how unique our individual metabolism is to each carb when we eat them. I really don't think that the solution is going on a no-carb diet. We love our carbs. Carbs are the only food group that causes a physiological reaction in the body that actually raises serotonin levels. It's your happy hormone. There's a reason why we crave carbohydrates when we're stressed or when we're sad or in the winter when we tend to have less sunlight exposure. It's because our serotonin levels go low, and our body, we learn to eat carbs to raise serotonin, and yet all we do over time is to cause more blood sugar imbalance, more insulin imbalance, and we just make the problem more and more worse. So we have to get over the carb addiction, and I have a whole chapter in there called This Is Your Brain on Carbs, and then I have a follow-up to this, is a 5-step plan to help you set yourself up for success so that when you start on this plan, I'm going to tell you, this is what you've got to do to improve your sleep. This is what you've got to do to keep your digestive tract working. And the tips from nutrition point of view, from timing and different food combinations or even certain superfoods that you can use to get your cravings and your insulin levels under control. And even your body temperature. Getting enough sun actually helps you control your carb cravings, and having regular sex does as well. I mean, if listeners, if they don't remember anything that I say today, they'll probably remember that she said, geez, I think she said to have more sex to control her carb cravings, but it's true.
So I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, how do you know which cards you're sensitive to. But before we go off in that direction, just one more thing I want you to touch on, which I mentioned briefly, because I think it's a bit of a revelation for people who are dealing with these effects of insulin. Too much insulin, this insulin-resistant pattern that they don't realize is related to it. We talked about high testosterone, and you talked about how it affects the skin and can increase things like skin tags. And I have found that when I really cut back on my carbs, which were generating insulin resistance, because I was insulin resistant, I did have all the signs and indications of metabolic syndrome, even though I didn't know it, then these skin things that were starting to go on disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, the skin tags, there's a link between increased incidence of skin tags and blood sugar imbalance in prediabetes and diabetes. And there's also a skin condition called acanthus nigrans, which is a darkening of the skin around your neck or your armpits. It's also related to insulin imbalance and blood sugar imbalance. So is acne. I mean, they call acne diabetes of the skin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's because when you eat that, I mean, you're causing so much. It also accelerates aging of the skin, increasing risk of wrinkling. It has so much to do with the blood sugar and the insulin imbalance because of the wrong foods that you're eating. So if you want to have great-looking skin and you want to have really healthy, thick hair, you've got to be balancing your blood sugar and your insulin levels, and you do that just by eating the right carbs for you.
Yeah, I think that's so important. People really need to hear that connection. There are so many dots that you're connecting in this conversation that I'm sure people hadn't thought about, hadn't realized. So let's move over to the carb sensitivity side of things. And what are some of the signs or indications if you have a sensitivity to a particular carb?
Well, the biggest thing you say is craving. So you're craving sweets. You're hungry very soon after eating. And, you know, someone says, oh, I ate, and then, you know, just a while later, I'm hungry again. Well, it's because you're eating wrong. You're eating the wrong combination of foods. You're eating foods that are spiking your insulin. If you wake up one day and you look in the mirror and you think, my God, I look puffy today. I've got water retention. Why is that happening? You ate carbs the day prior that spiked your insulin, because insulin makes you lose potassium and magnesium and retain sodium. So you get water retention. And when we lose our potassium and magnesium, what happens to our muscles? We get muscle cramps or spasms at night. And over time, we get muscle cramps or spasms in our arteries, which contributes to high blood pressure. So most people don't think about the carbs they're eating contributing to increasing their blood pressure, but it's 100% related, as is high cholesterol. Low good cholesterol or high total cholesterol is totally related to eating the wrong types of carbs for your metabolism. If you get the classic carb coma, you feel tired after eating, or if you're feeling like you're following a healthy diet but you're still having belly fat, these are all indications that you have carb sensitivities, and then you've got to figure out which carbs those are. And you can do that so easily just by following the process that I have in the book. I have complete 6 weeks of full recipes and meal plans and permitted foods, and it's very, very easy to follow. I just gave a lecture last night to 100 women, and three of the women stood up in the crowd at the lecture and said, one woman lost 39 pounds, another one 40, and another one 43 pounds. And they all said the book was so easy to follow, and they just loved it, and they had no idea how much the carbs that they were eating, even the healthy carbs, were causing so much of a problem for them. And for me as the author, to get that type of feedback from an audience, like when I write my books, The Hormone Diet and The Supercharged Hormone Diet, I really wanted people to be able to pick up the book and implement it on their own, because these were based on my own clinical experience and my interaction with patients, and obviously not everybody could see me as a patient. And so I've really tried to work hard to make it easy to follow and easy for people to implement. And And I think that I've, you know, somehow been a success in that department. So it's been really exciting as a practitioner and as an author to get out there and get that type of feedback.
Yes, there's nothing more rewarding than to hear people achieve success on the programs you've been promoting. So this is probably a good time to tell people where they can go to order the book and to check out your website.
They can go to Amazon.com to order the book or anywhere that books are sold. You can also visit carbsensitivity.com or my website, drnatashaturner.com, which has information on all of my books and the programs that we do, and where you could also purchase some of the supplements that I have in the book. The nice thing is that, you know, your listeners, the messages that I want people to understand is that the signs and symptoms of insulin imbalance vary widely. If you've got early warning signs as cravings and belly fat, the late warning signs is the blood sugar imbalance and type 2 diabetes. And it doesn't matter where you are on that spectrum, you can do things to improve your metabolism. Like, I have a whole program that I put in the book to help you fix the problem of carb sensitivity, because nobody can stay on a no-carb diet all the time. And the difference is with this program is I actually tell you supplements that you can take, and I give you all the tools for a workout that you can do at home in just 30 minutes, three times a week. And that doing that actually repairs your metabolism, so that if you do put carbs back in that you're sensitive to, you're not going to have the type of, the long-term implications and rebound weight gain. Because yo-yo dieting in itself causes more carb sensitivity. So you want to try and fix the problem, not just, put a Band-Aid over it.
Right, because it can be a vicious cycle. So I want to tell my listeners that the book's title is The Carb Sensitivity Program, and it's by Dr. Natasha Turner. So you can go to carbsensitivity.com, right, Natasha?
And, that's right.
Or go to drnatashaturner.com to get more information, learn about her programs and the products that she recommends. So let's just, in the time we have, go over some of the exercises or the approach to exercise that you have that's most successful. And, what I really hear you promoting through your work and your research are the old ways, the old paradigm that has worked to some degree or other successfully in the past of reducing calories and putting more exercise in, as you were saying you were doing earlier in your life.
It didn't work.
It doesn't work. It's like it's old, it's outdated, it's ineffectual. In fact,
yeah.
it can be harmful.
So, yeah.
So where are we now? So what is the most effective approach to exercise, which is necessary? We do need exercise to burn that sugar and to build the muscle mass, which is so important. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't count the number. I'm sure you see this too, the number of perimenopausal or menopausal women that come in because they're so frustrated with the types of belly fat that happens in that stage of life. And yet these women, so many of them are doing spinning classes and they're running every day and they're exercising too much. And who'd have thought that doing that would actually just cause more hormonal imbalance that would actually make the problem even worse? And from an exercise perspective, if you choose to do the wrong type of exercise for too long, or too frequent, or too intense, you will damage your metabolism more. I sternly believe this because you will metabolize your muscle, and you'll increase cortisol, mm-hmm. and you'll drop thyroid hormone, which is not what you want to be doing with your exercise program. You want to be stimulating the release of thyroid hormone because it's a major metabolic hormone that burns fat. And yet, from the studies that I looked at, in people who over-exercise, which I believe is for most people more than 40 minutes a day, because after 40 minutes, from the research that I looked at, in the general population, I mean, not an athlete, but in the general population, when people exercise more than 40 minutes, not yoga or doing something like that, but doing cardiovascular exercise, like where they're running or even weight training for too long, too hard, you raise your cortisol and you drop your thyroid hormone, and those hormonal changes can actually stay in effect for up to 24 hours post the workout. So that is absolutely not what you want to be trying to achieve in the gym. or on the track when you're running laps, you want to be stimulating your thyroid hormone and you want to be lowering cortisol. So all my workouts, I really propose people do 30 minutes maximum. Never do your cardio before your weight training, because your muscle is your major metabolic tissue. When you do your workout, you want to have full force and full strength capacity in your muscles to have to perform your best. So sometimes when you do long cardio before, it pre-fatigues your muscles, so you don't perform as well when you're lifting your weights. And also from the research that I looked at, the individuals that did strength training followed by a little bit of cardio, they actually burned more fat. So I have a lot of tricks in the book that that help people optimize the results of their workout, because, I mean, we're all so time-constrained. And certainly, if you're going to make it to the gym or you're going to be doing making the effort to exercise at home, you want to be doing it in a way that you're going to optimize your results. And so I also say in my books clearly that if you're short on time and you have to pick just 3 days a week to do an exercise, you should be thinking on doing circuit training and focusing on strength training, because that's gonna be what will maintain your metabolism, that will maintain your muscle mass and your bone density. And you can get your cardio at the same time if you do the workout like I suggest in the book. And I believe that that is the most effective. That's the approach that I've used myself to build muscle and stay lean. And I mean, the amazing thing is that you can actually get better results if you eat more often and eat at the right times and in the right combinations, and rather than cut your calories too much because it's too much damage, and exercising less but doing it properly. You'll optimize the hormonal response that will let you build more muscle and really help you age the best that you can age.
Yes, you know, there's so many benefits when you build muscle mass, and of course we lose our muscle mass as we get older.
And also when we're more carb sensitive, did you know that high insulin accelerates muscle loss and bone loss? I actually was shocked when I saw that.
Well, I'm not surprised. And, you know, I actually haven't found any woman who wasn't dealing with some level of adrenal fatigue. So when women go into these really long, intense workouts thinking they're going to lose weight, they're actually further exhausting their adrenals, which will create more cortisol, which leads to more insulin levels, to more fat storage. You know, it's just the wrong strategy, and that's
it
why
totally
I'm
is.
So frustrated. You know?
I know. But, I really believe 3 days of strength, 1 to 2 days of yoga, or 1 to 2 days of cardio, and that's it.
Yeah, and 30 minutes.
The 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's
like,
what you need.
You can do yoga longer. I put a course of study in the book. They took diabetic and pre-diabetic patients and had them do 40 days of yoga. At the end of the 40 days, all of their blood sugar levels were better, all of their insulin levels were better, and many of them got completely off of their medication. So that's the impact that yoga and strength training can have on your ability to metabolize carbs.
Yeah,
if you want to cheat, you want to be doing the strength training so that you can cheat.
You know, because it's not just about, yoga isn't just about feeling relaxed, as you were stating in the study. It's actually having all these physiological effects on us that are supporting our health and proper balance and metabolism. And I think most people don't really appreciate yoga for that.
No, it's anti-inflammatory. My husband is a hockey jock, and when I took him to yoga class, he couldn't believe it. He was just like, oh, my God, this is totally not just for girls.
Well, you know, we're kind of at the end. Is there anything else you just want to comment before we have to wrap things up, Natasha? It's been so insightful, and, you know, I'm sure you have lots more to say, but maybe there's just one or more pearls that you'd like to share before we complete things.
You know, by the year 2020, 1 in 2 Americans are going to have diabetes or prediabetes. And that, when you really think about that statistic, it's so alarming. And what I really want to get across to people is that if you're having cravings, if you have belly fat, if you have an excessive appetite, if you're not getting the results that you're looking for from your dietary efforts now, the long-term implications of that it means you're on that road. You're on that road getting that condition, and it all starts with becoming aware of what's happening in your body now and that you can make changes and repair your metabolism and in such a short amount of time. You just have to make the effort, and I really, you know, I put together a program that anybody can follow, and you can also go to Facebook and check out Carb Sensitivity or the Hormone Diet and see all the success stories that we have there too. It will help motivate people to make some change.
Do you actually have online communities or online programs that people can purchase to walk them through?
At this point, I don't. I'm actually teaching a class in an hour, and I do something called the Hormone Diet Boot Camp. And I coach people on weekly meetings once a week. I put them through the program in the book, and then they move on from there into the carb sensitivity program if they need to. And I've been doing that in the clinic, but I also traveling. I've been traveling to do this with people as well. I haven't done it yet by webinar, but I want to, or else I think about filming it and putting it on a DVD series so that people can watch and implement the program on their own. But we're definitely active on Facebook, and we have on my website, we answer every single question personally because we want to support people in their effort to make a change and improve their lifestyle.
Well,
so we're definitely very interactive.
That's great, because the important part of your work and what you're communicating, getting out there and helping to communicate, is really giving people the answers, and it's from a new paradigm, a new perspective that really will create results. And we've got to step out of the old way of how we address these issues, or even, you know, cause these issues, and that's
or even how we diagnose these issues. We're testing fasting blood sugar to identify diabetes risk. We should be testing fasting insulin. Everybody should be testing their blood sugar and their insulin, because your insulin is the first sign that something's going wrong. And there's a whole chapter on blood tests too. And even if you don't even do the program, I just encourage people to get the blood tests done so they can get a sense of where they are and where they might need to go.
Well, Natasha, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your wealth of information. I just wish you all the best, and just get your mission out there and help change and save those lives.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. It was a super pleasure talking to you.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
And to all of you listening, this is Dr. Cheryl Fellman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know with my great guest today, Dr. Natasha Turner, author of the Carb Sensitivity Program. So until next time, remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.